In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luther's great theological rediscovery, we'll call it, was that we don't need to purchase God's favor and forgiveness with good works by things that we do or things that we don't do. God's wrath has been appeased for us by the sacrifice of the Son of God. And so he forgives our sins for his sake and his sake alone. And he does it for free. And the way that we receive this gift of righteousness is only by faith. Lutherans know that, right? That didn't sound too enthusiastic. Lutherans know that, right? Right, okay, that's a little better. We gather this following Sunday morning to remember our dead. Remember our dead. And don't lose sight of the fact that their passing through the gate of death is for us a very clear call to repentance, because it is. But we also know that where they have gone, we are soon to follow, so long as we remain in the faith of the Holy Church. And surprisingly, this is not something that fills us with fear. It fills the rest of the world with fear, but not the Christian church. Because repentance is not simply sorrow and contrition over sin. Repentance is not just finding sin and wallowing in it in your life. Repentance is also a solid and confident hope in the Son of God who has come and has died for us, taking on our flesh even and bringing it up to heaven. Because in the process of repentance, do you know what we do? We die. We die in penitence. We die to ourselves. We die to the way that we would have it. We die to our sinful desires, to what we want, to what we have, and we live for Jesus. We live for His holy way. And because His way is the way of life, we are emptied of ourselves and filled with the Holy Spirit, made alive through the forgiveness of sin. That's what's going on in repentance. And we know that because we're good Lutherans, that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also what? Oh. I need to send you guys home with homework, it looks like, right? Where there is forgiveness of sins, Luther says in the Catechism, there is also life and salvation. Thank you. Life and salvation come with the forgiveness of sins. So, this call to repentance, this remembrance of our dead, fills us with joy. Fills us with joy even when we are hurting, even when we are missing our loved ones dearly. God is so good that He has made it to where we can even have joy in the midst of sorrow. Because it's the mystery of the gospel that in dying we are born. In weakness we are strong. And our closest bond is with those who are no longer here, but are in the arms of Christ. Now, someone might, every once and again, comment or conclude that we all have people who are different dead, that they are not ours, they are different people, that those in our church family who entered into heavenly benediction, whose names were read before the worship service, are closer or more distant to us, dependent upon how well we knew them or what kind of relationship we had with them. How strong that relationship was. But we all have those who have walked through the gate of death. Every one of us. That none of the others even knew about. Right? I have people that you've never known who have gone before. People who were shut-ins, distant or long-gone relatives. Vacant spaces in our lives for children who never made it out of the womb. Or good friends from just way back in the day that maybe we've forgotten about. At least mostly, anyway. And all of that may be true. But I tell you that nonetheless, they are our dead. They are ours in Jesus Christ. They are our dead because we are brothers, because the Bible says that we are sons of God, every one of us. Our dead are the faithful departed because they died in the Lord, not outside of Him. They have died in the Lord, and that makes them all of ours. They are all of ours. And that's no euphemism, that's no exaggeration or understatement even. They departed full of faith, and because of that, free of death. Free of death. They've been removed from us for a time. They have fallen asleep in Jesus. They have gone to their people and to our people. They are the saints in glory. But they are not gone forever. They are not gone forever. Some of them we don't even know yet. But you know what? They're still ours. Even though we may not know them, they are still ours. And we're theirs because we are united in the death and resurrection of the Son of God, reconciled to the Father in the bond of the Holy Spirit. And yet, even resting and basking in this truth, it still hurts. Death still hurts. It still hurts to be left to carry on without those people that we love so dearly. It still hurts because we don't yet have full and perfect communion with them. We still have sin. In this life, we still have sin. We still give in from time to time to our baser desires. And with God's merciful assistance, we repent of them. We still suffer the depredations of this fallen world. Sometimes the grief even was too great for Jesus Himself, who was without sin. I'll remind you, we don't have that luxury. We still have doubt and sin and fear and all of the baggage that goes with those things. But sometimes it was still too great even for our Savior, because if you noticed in the Gospels from time to time, He would just break into funeral processions and stop them dead in their tracks, literally dead in their tracks. And He would bring life right into the midst of death, because He delayed the crossing over of the widow's son from Nain. He raised up Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus. But don't forget that He also buried His kinsmen, didn't He? Tradition tells us that He buried His adoptive father, Joseph. We know for a fact that He buried His cousin, John. And who knows who else that was so close to the Savior's heart on this earth. And even the widow's son, even Lazarus, even Jairus' daughter, they eventually died. And in this, the Savior suffered just as we do. But here's the really significant thing that I want you to remember. They are not just our dead. That is not the case. They're not just our dead. Praise be to God that by the blood of Jesus Christ, they are ours. But praise be to God all the more that they are not just our dead. They are His dead. And His dead, though they've passed through the gate and grave of death, they are not dead. They live in the Son of God even now. They worship the Son of God with us in heaven. And this because life Himself submitted to death, and death could not hold or bind Him at all. He did His worst, struck His blows, exhausted all of His piercing and cold wrath, but now it's done. Death is gone. It is finished. What do we cry out at every single funeral in the Lutheran church? What do we cry out? We taunt death. We say, "O death, where is thy sting?" It is a taunt, right? We taunt death with the word of God because Christ our Savior has risen victorious. Where is your power, O death, over the sons and the daughters of God? Where is it? It is finished, the Lord says, even as he hangs from his throne of the cross. And when he was ready, after 3 days, he took up his life again. After paying the total penalty and full payment of our sins, he rose, and you know what lays dead on the ground? Death. Death is dead because of what Jesus has done. Life lives, and so do all of those who believe in him. On this side or on the other side, we are one people, one hope, one Lord, and one body. Eat this bread, this living bread of heaven, and you will live. It's this living bread of grace from heaven that satisfies those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who suffer and live in, with, and under death. He makes the kingdom theirs forever. He bestows life to the dying, to us, and to those faithful who have gone before us. They are alive. That is why we remember and we honor our dead. They live now more fully than they have ever lived on this earth because they live in the nearer presence of the Son of God who loves them. And soon, very soon, and not soon enough, so shall we. So shall we. He will raise you up from the dead in your wounded, in your sinning body, wounded and sinning no more, and you will live. And you will do so in Jesus' holy name. Amen.